Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. I'm Erin Dolan, joined by my awesome co-host, Kevin Walsh. Hope you're having a great Tuesday morning, Kev.
Thank you very much. Very kind words. Excited to be here. It's a Tuesday. We're off and running. We're making it happen. A lot to get to.
Yeah, let's get to it. Our 7-7 top headlines, starting off with the NBA playoffs. The Bucks scorch Miami in a 132-98 win. Milwaukee makes the most franchise threes in history, going 15 of 29 from the three-point line in that first half. Then Milwaukee just kept on rolling, taking a two-game lead in this series. I mean, Kev, the Bucks were on fire.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. There's so many different ways you can really put this into context. I think my favorite is in game one, as a team, the Bucks made five threes. In game two, Bryn Forbes made six threes. Just a ridiculous amount of positive regression for this three-point shooting Bucks squad here. I mean, they hung it on Miami, and they did it start to finish. Just ran them out of the gym and never really looked back. A statement that we haven't seen from the Bucks in the playoffs, maybe ever.
Yeah, and we're going to be breaking that game down in our next segment. Another game on the board last night, Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets leveled the series with a 128-109 win over Portland. Now Jokic scores 38 points, 8 boards, 5 assists, shooting 15 of 20 from the floor, 2 of 3 from the three-point line. Damian Lillard scored 42 last night, but his efforts were not enough to get the win.
Yeah, Lillard had a stretch where it looked like he would maybe never miss a shot for the rest of his career. And Denver still weathered that storm, went out there, and put 128 on Portland. I think for the Denver Nuggets, you have to think about this game and say, you know what? This is what we should be doing. Because Portland, as we talked pre-series, a truly terrible defense. Denver has to have a lot of confidence now, 1-1 here in the series.
And how about Jazz Jordan Clarkson winning the NBA Sixth Man of the Year award, edging out his teammate Joe Ingles and the New York Knicks' Derrick Rose. Now, TNT used Ingles last night to show him that he won this award in a press conference, which was pretty cool.
I think this is probably one of the best award sweats that anybody could have possibly had. Jordan Clarkson at one point, a minus 6,000 favorite to win this award. All of the sudden then people were like, wait, but Joe Ingles is really good. And all of a sudden that number kept ticking down further and further. At one point, it was a pick'em. It was minus 115 Clarkson, minus 115 Ingles. You're sat there watching this potential award ceremony, and they're both sitting there. Ultimately, it goes to Clarkson. A congratulations to him on that award. The Jazz having the sixth and seventh man, it shows probably a good reason as to why they had the NBA's best record.
Yep, of course. Let's get through some NFL updates as well. Julio Jones says, I'm out of there when asked about his future with the Falcons. Now, Jones requested a trade at the beginning of the offseason in March. Atlanta has asked teams that have called if they would give up a first-round pick. Now, the question, Kev, of course, at this point is Julio Jones worth a first-round pick?
I think unquestionably, when you consider the amount of competition that there should be around the league to acquire Julio Jones, the Falcons should be able to net a first round selection. I just want to say, unfortunately, I do not think that I will be able to pull a Shannon Sharp and dial up any professional athletes to get them to break some news and give us contract status. That was wild that Shannon Sharp just called Julio in the middle of Undisputed. A kind of a cool moment, though.
Yeah. And quickly, let's welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan doing our 7 and 7 top headlines. We're going to continue with some NFL updates. Rodgers speaks on issues within the Packers organization on SportsCenter last night, saying the beef is not about drafting Jordan Love, but rather the way it was handled. Rodgers, coming off his third MVP award season, and already expressed that this offseason he wants out.
Yeah, and he kind of made a point that this was all in motion, and then things were messed up because he won an MVP. And possibly the moving on process was delayed because you're not going to move on from the most valuable player. But I think Rodgers' stance is clearly firm. He doesn't want to be in Green Bay. You know, there's still a lot of offseason left for us to see if he'll end up a Packer or not.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of these NFL updates towards the end of the show. Let's take it to the ice, though. Connor McDavid and the Oilers were swept in round one by the Jets. Now Edmonton lost last night 4-3 in triple overtime. Yes, triple overtime.
Oof. Triple OT is no doubt
like two back-to-back
a tough
games.
Way to see the season end. Nurse of the Oilers, by the way, broke the NHL postseason record for most ice time in a game, which, you know, is pretty cool, although in a losing effort. But the headline is that McDavid was swept out of the postseason. And we had Cam Stewart joining us, I remember, before this series got underway, saying that he thought the Oilers were vulnerable. Clearly, even though a lot of the games were close, they were unable to get even just one game off of Winnipeg.
Yep, and let's take it to the field now. The Tampa Bay Rays win 11 straight with a 14-8 win over the Blue Jays, scoring 7 runs in the 11th inning. Rays complete the 4-game sweep against Toronto and insert themselves into the AL East race. They're now sitting behind the Yankees at plus 400 on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
I just want to make the point that there were 12 runs scored in extra innings. 12 runs. Like, that's so many runs.
Yeah, the over, that's great.
So many runs. Oh, it's tremendous. It's happy days. But Tampa Bay, a team with pedigree, now getting hot at the right time. The AL East is a real battle at the top with the Rays, the Yankees, and the Boston Red Sox.
Yes, it is. Stay with us here on The Early Line. Coming up next, we're going to break down some of the NBA games that happened last night. Stay with us here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. We are ready to break down the NBA games that happened last night, starting off with the Bucks and the Heat. I mean, the Bucks kept just could not miss. In that first quarter, the Bucks led 46-20, 10 made threes in just that first quarter. Then they go into the half with 78 points, 45 being from the three-point line. Bucks, of course, with the most franchise three in a half in franchise history, going 15 of 29 from the three-point line. Bucks end up winning this game 132-98. We know this was a dominant performance, but Kev, we talked about positive regression before. So in game one, Milwaukee shot a terrible 5 of 31 from the three, and then we expected them to come out hot, and they did.
Yeah, 100%. And for, you know, for those that don't know, it's just kind of the averages coming back to the middle. Milwaukee is a pretty good three-point shooting team. They're certainly much better than a 5-for-31 game number one performance. This was something we talked a lot about when we were breaking down the NCAA tournament, right? And I remember, I think Florida State was like the main team where they went out there and they made like no threes in their first like game and a half. And I was like, all right, there's going to be, you know, some action coming here for this team. And eventually you saw that that was the case, right? It also can play a role for a team that maybe gets out liar hot. Miami was coming off of a 20-for-50 performance from beyond the arc. They go out there and go 8-of-28. And sometimes when you get kind of hit in that way with things coming back to the middle, it's a bit disastrous. And that was a point that many people did make after Miami's game one loss. For Miami to make 15 more threes than Milwaukee in game one and lose that game, it could spell disaster. Those people who pointed that out as a major concern, I would say somewhat vindicated here in this game as they went on now to lose this three-point battle by 14, and you saw that very clearly reflected in the scoreline.
And we also thought, in terms of positive regression, Jimmy Butler, 4-for-22 from the floor in that first game. Miami shot a terrible 36% from the floor. So we thought that maybe they would be able to keep up with the pace. We knew that this game, obviously, the Bucks were going to try to come out hot just given the positive regression. But what does this mean for Miami now? Because they're down two games in the series.
Yeah. So obviously, those, again, that have followed the early line consistently know that we think very highly of Jimmy Butler and what he brings to the table in the postseason. With that being said, there are times where a singular postseason run can cloud judgment a bit. And what Jimmy did in his best games during last year's NBA Finals was, I mean, legendary stuff, historic stuff from Jimmy Buckets. But sometimes that will cloud your judgment a little bit. Like when Kawhi won the Finals MVP with the Raptors, people were suggesting that he was the best player in the NBA. Well, that's never been true. He's never been the best player in the NBA. Jimmy Butler's playoff run last year perhaps elevated him to a level that maybe he's just not at. Like, and that's not to say that he's not one of the, you know, 15 to 20 best players in the NBA, but is top 10 playoff Jimmy Butler really a thing? It's a valid question, as Jimmy has been, to put it bluntly, bad. For Miami, he was a disaster here in game two and 4-for-22 performance in game one. It's unacceptable from Jimmy Butler to start this series.
Absolutely unacceptable. And then in terms of the series prices, just want to mention that Milwaukee is now 12-12 at this point. And then in terms of Miami, what's interesting is the first game, you had the Bucks kind of heavily favored against them. Miami's able to cover. It's a competitive game. This obviously being a blowout, the Bucks are able to cover the 4.5 as favorites. But now for the third game, they're heading to Miami. And right now, the Heat are plus one. So it's basically a pick 'em at this point. Both teams at minus money on the money line and total at 227. So it's going to be interesting to see if Miami can hold that home court advantage and see if they can use that.
Yeah. It's a considerable move, though, I think, in that we know there's going to be that home court flip, right? And it's, you know, let's just say home court advantage is worth 2.5 points, then going from Milwaukee to Miami is probably a 5-point move on the spread. The number from game two floating around 4.5 to 5. The fact that the Bucks are still favored, I think that reflects a little bit of a change in perception around the teams and around the matchup. I think from the series betting perspective, now, I'm not sure if I'm there yet, but Milwaukee is favored to win this in five games at plus 170. That's a very understandable price, thinking, okay, Miami's getting one of the two games at home, but the Bucks split that, and they should be able to close the deal on their home floor in game number five. I think that's an understandable number, rightfully the favorite. I wish this series spread was 2.5 as opposed to 1.5. At 2.5, I think we'd have a little bit more of an interesting decision. At 1.5, it's a complete pass.
Yeah, this is definitely a series to keep an eye on. It's been fun to watch so far. Let's switch it over to the Trailblazers and Nuggets, who played last night. The Nuggets able to even the series with a 129-101 win. And Kev, this is one of those series that has been kind of tough to bet on, because we know that Portland obviously had dominated in game one. Now the Denver Nuggets able to dominate in game two. Right now, the FanDuel Sportsbook for game three, you have the Portland Trailblazers heading home, already laying 4. How do you think this series is going to go? Is it just going to be a back and forth and maybe come down to a game seven in this series?
Yeah, this series felt like it was built to be a 6 or 7 game series at the minimum. That's what you had to be expecting with these two teams. Ultimately, it's very interesting, but if I were to swap when game one happened and game two happened, but basically having Portland win game two, Denver's this same performance happened in game one, you'd be over the moon about Portland, right? You get a split. You're going back home. Happy days. But this was such a tough outing where a Damian Lillard 42-point performance felt completely irrelevant. It does have a little bit of an odd vibe. One of the more interesting numbers, though, when we pull away from this game to box score, is a zero next to Yusuf Nurkic in the plus-minus category. In a game in which Portland was pretty much beaten up pretty good and pretty consistently, the fact that Nurkic was even from a plus-minus perspective, he found out of this game. I think maybe Portland can look at that and say, all right, if we can just keep Nurkic out of foul trouble here, we've got plenty to think that we'll be just fine, especially knowing that being the lower seed, you really just needed the split in Denver anyway.
So let's actually talk about some of the series prices now. Portland right now, minus 172. Denver Nuggets, plus 140. But we mentioned about this game potentially going into the sixth game to the seventh game. So if you want to bet on this ending in six games, plus 140 on the FanDuel Sportsbook, seven games, plus 150. So right now, we're seeing this at plus money. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if this switched to minus money after the next couple of games.
Yeah. And I think the plus 1.5 games on Denver at minus 144 is a pretty interesting number. Now, you know, minus 144 juice, I don't think that's that bad when we're dealing with series prices and things that revolve around a series, because it takes the onus off you a little bit as a bettor to now decide kind of which game is going to go which way. Because I do believe that this is a very difficult series to call. If you still believe that Denver's got some juice here, which I tend to agree with, you will win that bet if Denver wins this series, period, but at the minimum forces a seventh game. I think that Denver number is a little interesting there at minus 144. I thought maybe it'd be a little bit higher juice.
Yeah, what's interesting is before we talked about some of these games starting in round one, we said Portland and Denver was going to be hard, and it was hard for odds makers to handicap. And then you have Atlanta versus the Knicks, another hard game because it was so close. But it's interesting with the Hawks, they're minus 245 to win their series as opposed to, let's say, Portland at minus 172. I know they already had game two, meaning that Atlanta had only won one game so far. But it's interesting to see them jump out so far as opposed to these series being so tight before the first game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a huge move with just one result. It is what we've seen with a lot of these series prices. And I know we're getting set to dive into today's slate. And there's one adjustment on a series price that I think is quite appetizing, and I'm excited to talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about the NBA games that are on the board for tonight. Coming up next here on the Early Line. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. We're going to get into some NBA preview, but right off the bat, I just want to mention the Clippers and Lakers now down one game after losses in the opening round. Now, the odds to win the West are currently down. So, Kevin, what are your initial thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think because everything in the playoffs matters so much, and there's always big moves after every single game, that there's these big adjustments that need to be made. But I think for the book right now, when you consider the Lakers are down 1-0, the Clippers are down 1-0, and the Jazz are down 1-0, it's difficult for them to kind of have to move all these lines. Like, if the Jazz would have won against Memphis, the Jazz would be favorites to win the West right now. And you might think, oh, there's no way. That's typically how these lines move. Like, last year, the Lakers lost game one to the Rockets and dropped down the odds board considerably in the second round of the Western Conference playoffs. They move these always because of these results. So I think the fact that you've got, especially tonight, both the Lakers and the Clippers potentially staring down the barrel of 0-2 starts in their series, they may not be reposting those lines until both of those games are finished up and they have a better idea of what to expect.
I agree with you. And of course, with serious prices, some teams obviously making big jumps after just game one. So there'll be a lot of movement in terms of that market. But let's get into some of the preview. Lakers Suns starting off first. Now, game one, we know the Suns won. They also covered. Now, Chris Paul, is he going to be fully healthy given that shoulder contusion that he suffered in that game? He was obviously expressing some pain in that fourth quarter there. He said he's absolutely going to be ready for game two, but he is listed as questionable. So you think this will make a factor into the lines tonight?
Yeah, so I 100% believe that Chris Paul is going to play this game when you consider he, you know, still put 36 minutes of work in that game number one, and a lot of that still came after the injury. The question, though, is how healthy is Chris Paul, right? Like, for example, Chris Paul, his player prop for points is 14.5. He only had 7 in game one, and he only took 8 shots. Is Chris Paul not at 100% and then going to need to play more of a facilitator role? I think that's quite possible. Even his 3-point prop, right, at 1.5, you see massive juice to the under there at minus 192. I think there's a world, right? Maybe you have to get involved with an alt market if you could get an under. I think there could be some, you know, a world where he's not taking threes or making them because the shoulder is so hampered.
And now we know in this game, when the Suns were able to win, and obviously that's their first playoff win in 11 years. But the one thing I wanted to note in terms of this game, because we want to factor this into game two, is that the Lakers do know how to close games. We saw this against the Warriors to get that number 7 seed. And then in this game, the Suns led 86-70 in that fourth quarter. The Lakers easily cut that down to 86-77 with 9 minutes left. This might be another game where we're able to see LeBron James actually close out the game as opposed to kind of struggling early.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think the interesting thing is we talked about the Lakers having the best defense in the NBA. In their two postseason games, if we include the play-in, neither opponent has been able to get over 100 points just yet. So the defense is fine. It's the offense right now for the Lakers that's leaving more to be desired. So to your point there, when you're going to play defense at that high of a level, now, Phoenix is a good defensive team in their own right, but the Lakers just need to start to get some shots to fall there, because right now, on the defensive side of the basketball, they do seem to still be playing at a championship-ish level.
Yeah, for sure. So let's get into the betting angle of this game, because the Suns are getting 2 points, the total 209.5 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now, in terms of the Lakers, when doing some research, betting trends are really tough because obviously they're not factoring all the injuries that have happened over the last couple of months. So it's kind of hard to take the Lakers trends into account. But for the Suns, they're 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 home games, 11-4 against the spread in their last 15 games as an underdog. Also want to mention for the total, it is over 4-0 in the Suns' last 4 games as home underdog. Kev, which way do you lean this game? Because for me, I truly think that the Lakers win this easy.
So the side to me is most interesting. And for those that do not remember, game one and the line movement was wild. As you know, and Aaron kind of alerted me to it and then also scared me because I'm like, oh no, something drastic happened where the Lakers were -1 and then all of a sudden +3. It turned out, I believe, the books just had a change of heart. Whether it was, you know, home court advantage, or it was a rest advantage, or some massive bet that made them say, we not only have to move this, but we have to move it drastically. They flipped to 3-point favorites and closed as 2.5-point favorites. Well, now here we are in game number two. The Lakers go from 2.5-point underdogs to 1.5 to 2-point favorites. That big move once again. Is that a, well, the Lakers need the game? Is that just a simple zigzag theory? Is Chris Paul's injury being factored into the line? I think those are all valid questions. If I were to try to give you some trends, though, Aaron, to support the Lakers, they were 18-4 straight up as a road favorite this year. And you and I have talked about this on the show before. I'm laying minus 126 juice, not 1.5. I am not letting the Lakers win this game by one and I lose my bet. So that 18-4 straight up trend is relevant. I would also add that last year, the Lakers lost game number one in both rounds one and two of the Western Conference playoffs, proceeded to win both of those series in five games, winning the next four consecutively. Yeah. They did not lose two straight games at any point during last year's playoffs, but more importantly, with this year's team, the LeBron James and Anthony Davis duo only dropped consecutive games once this season, and it was LeBron's first two games back from the injury against Sacramento and then Toronto. They've been almost impossible to beat two straight. I think all of that adds up to push me towards the Lakers.
Yeah, Lakers money line seems to be the play for me. I just want to mention again, like you talked about with betting on the money line, when you see a spread at plus one, plus two at that point, just take them on the money line because you're going to get some other value there. But let's also talk about some player props. We know AD and LeBron, 24 and a half for their player points, Booker 28 and a half. I'm wondering if that is inflated a little bit given the Chris Paul injury. But are there any player props that you're keeping an eye on for tonight?
The Anthony Davis prop is, in my opinion, you have to play it. Again, maybe there's some folks out there who believe he is far too injured and he'll never be good again, which I think is a very wild take when I know that he just put up 42 on this same team about 2 weeks ago. It's so, like, people were like, I told you AD was too injured to play good basketball. It's like, did you not watch what recently just happened? Very odd move. But Anthony Davis, after game number one, put the entire loss on his shoulders. Is the entire thing on his shoulders? No, but yeah, quite a lot of it was. He was awful. He was awful. 5 of 16 from the floor at 13 points, a minus 18 for the game. But the more important thing than him just saying, oh, it was my fault, was him saying, I watched my teammates start the game hot, was then passive on the offensive side of the floor, and I never found a rhythm. What you will then see, I'm telling you this right now, Anthony Davis will have 10 points in the first quarter in this game tonight. I wish we had a first quarter points prop bet. That's something that you will see later in the postseason. If we had it tonight, it would be a must bet. Anthony Davis is going to score 10-plus points here in the first quarter. I think he's going to be locked in from a scoring perspective from the jump. I think you have to play the over 24.5 on Anthony Davis.
Love it. All right, let's stay in the West, though, because another game that's happening tonight is the Mavericks versus the Clippers. Now, we know the Mavs won game one, 113 to 103, but there's a few takeaways. First being the Clippers double-teaming Luka, and I feel like that kind of backfired them. With Luka, obviously, we know he was in foul trouble in this game as well. He ends with 31 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds, third playoff triple-double. He was limited to just 1 point in that fourth by doubling, but it opened a lot of other players on the Mavs team to be open and kind of get those shots. We have Hardaway, Finley Smith, Brunson all combined for 54 points. The Clippers will be focused on defense, according to their coach. He said that in a press conference yesterday. So it's going to be interesting to see if they're able to have better defense and also shoot better from the three-point line.
Yeah, and the defensive side, though, is very, very important. The three-point stuff, all that, right? But Kawhi Leonard is someone that if you were to ask me where does he rank inside the best players in the world, I would tell you top five. A lot of that is not just because Kawhi is developed into an excellent offensive player, but it's because he is still probably the NBA's scariest perimeter defender. But that loses a lot of importance if Kawhi cannot handle the workload of both the offensive side and defensive side of the ball. Ty Lue saying that the reason you do not see Kawhi on Luka is because of that offensive workload, but then went on to say some of you will likely be getting your wish next game, suggesting that Kawhi is going to guard the Don. The question is, will Kawhi Leonard be guarding Luka start to finish if Luka's starting to heat up, or will that be a fourth quarter assignment? That is massively important to not only Luka's props, but Kawhi's as well. Of course, if Luka Doncic is all of the sudden seeing Kawhi Leonard on him, his points prop then maybe to the under could be worth a look. Similarly, though, if Kawhi is being tasked with having to play both sides of the ball at such a high level, he then might have to take a step back on his points props and things like that.
Yeah, and we could obviously see Kawhi be very tired if he is going one-on-one with Luka the entire game, like you mentioned, potentially just only in that fourth quarter there. But it's going to be interesting to see. We're going to talk more about this game coming up right after the break. Stay with us here on The Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. Continuing with our NBA preview, we know that it's a playoff great time to be watching the NBA. Now, let's talk about the Mavs and the Clippers from a betting angle. Now, the Lakers laying 6.5 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, total at 216.5. Just want to mention for some trends against the spread, the Clippers 5-0 against the spread in their last five games following a double-digit loss. Mavs 5-1 against the spread in their last six games as an underdog, 5-0 against the spread in their last five games versus a team with a winning record.
Man, I think in this spot here, it's hard not to be backing the Clippers. Their three-point shooting.
I'm Clippers all the way on this.
Yeah, it was so good. So this is the one thing I'll just say about this slate overall. You have the Lakers down 1-0, the Clippers down 1-0, and the Nets. It's a slate where I feel like a lot of people are going to agree. Maybe that's how it works out. But we all know that betting tends to have its moments. Maybe it's just the Celts cover surprises people, whatever it might be. Maybe all of a sudden we find out that, you know, Dallas or Phoenix are trendy dogs. And it's like, oh, see, that's where people got upset. But it's a three-game slate that feels like you might see a lot of people agreeing, which is always a little bit concerning because then somebody somewhere probably has to get tripped up. But I still do agree with you here. I think that this is the Clippers game. I think their three-point shooting, which was the best three-point shooting percentage in the NBA, has to come back to the middle here. Similarly, not as drastic, but similarly to I think what we saw with Milwaukee.
And as for the total at 217 right now, the trends are going towards the under for the Clippers. The over for Dallas was 6-1 in the last seven road games, hitting that over. But in terms of the under, the one trend I wanted to mention, 5-0 in the last five meetings against each other. This line continuing to come down, Kev. Would you want to play the under in this game? I feel like a lot of these NBA playoff games have already hit the under.
Yeah, the interesting thing is the only overs that the Clippers have had in their last 10 games were the two tank games against Houston and OKC. So they have been a real unders, unders, unders team. If you are somebody that is trying to find a way to play the over, I think you play so in the first half because we saw that first half over hit in game number one. And if the Clippers are going to come out hot, they're typically a team that within one of the first two quarters, if they're going to come out hot, we'll have at least 35 points in a quarter. So I would be looking a little bit more towards the maybe a Clippers team total even and just try and narrow it down that way. I think from a totals perspective here, all of those trends suggest under. I just think the Clippers are going to have such a good night probably from the three-point shooting area. So I think maybe Clippers team totals would be how I would prefer to play the game.
And then in terms of some player props, Luka is at 28.5, Leonard's at 26.5. We talked about this. If those two are going to go one-on-one, that they might be able to hit the under on some of them. So are there any other player props aside from the just most basic ones, the player points that you're keeping an eye on? I know you just mentioned some of the just team totals and whatnot, but are there any other ones in terms of players?
I'll just mention that Luka, his points, rebounds, plus assists is 46.5. He has 50-plus points, rebounds, and assists now in three straight games against the Clippers this season. But we talked about the Kawhi uptick in defense. What could that bring? The person I'm looking at here, I laugh, but it's Ivica Zubac. I know, like, you know, it's great because we have Steve, you know, put the Luka Doncic and the Chris Dams and Paul George and Kawhi. Like, those are our star players. Those are the props that we're, you know, often looking at because we get a good feel for those guys. but it's Ivica Zubac who jumps off the page with a points prop of 7.5. He had 8 in game number 1. He had double digits in all 3 regular season meetings this year, averaging 13 points per game against the Mavericks. And he went over 7.5 points, if you're going to still factor it in 5 of the 6 playoff games that they played against Dallas last season. He's just hit this number with outrageous consistency. 7.5, Ivica Zubac. Go out there, make your layups, and let's cash it over.
Love it. All right, there's 3 big games in the NBA on the board tonight. Let's get to our last one here, the Celtics versus the Nets. We know Brooklyn won game 1, 104-93. They covered the 8 points, thank God, because I had tweeted that out as my most confident pick, and I was sweating that one out. But the Celtics were able to jump out to that lead due to the Nets' early slow start by the starters. Now, the big 3 was out of rhythm, which is no surprise. Kevin and I have been harping on this, I feel like, for the last couple of weeks, even months. It was only their 9th appearance together. Durant, Harden, and Irving scored 28 of the Nets' 31 points in that second half, which was good. But just in general, they kind of needed to find their rhythm there, and it didn't take them until the second half to be able to have that. I hope that they let all 3 of these players play some time tonight, but I wouldn't be surprised if they took one of them out in the second half, let's say, and the Celtics potentially able to backdoor cover because of that.
It'll depend. I mean, when you get 9.5 points, you know, you're always kind of, you feel like you've got a chance no matter what. Mm-hmm. The thing is, 39 minutes for Durant in that opening game, 37 for Kyrie, 36 for Harden. It's the playoffs. They're going to play a lot of minutes in these games. But the Nets only won the game by 9 in game number 1. Or by 11, rather, excuse me. But where I'm trying to, you know, get a sense here, Aaron, is what to do with this total. Because, I mean, a Brooklyn Nets game not getting to 200 points, I refuse to believe that that's going to be the case with any type of consistency. Mm-hmm. I can't accept that as the new reality. I know there's a lot of people, oh, see, the Nets can defend if they want to. It's the playoffs. I have some doubts about that, and I also think that Brooklyn, off of a performance where they were, you know, only 42% from the field and only 24% from 3, I think they're going to have a much better offensive night.
Interesting, yeah. And then in terms of the spread, the Nets 6-0 against the spread in their last 6 overall, 4-0 against the spread in their last 4 home games, 13-3 against the spread in their last 16 games as a favorite. So both teams also, just want to mention for the total, trending towards the under. But it's interesting to see when you factor in all these things. But again, it's kind of like the Lakers in the sense of that these trends don't have all 3 of them playing at the same time. You said they're going to play a lot of minutes. So there is the potential for them to easily be able to cover the spread. They should be able to. But do you think that Jason Tatum will be able to rebound and have a better game than he had in that first opening game?
He needs to. I mean, he was 6 for 20. I mean, that is just unacceptable. Points. From Tatum. The thing is that the volume is there. And that's why I think his points prop will continue to be worth a look, because if he can shoot it with even, you know, remote efficiency, he's going to get there. He's going to have so many attempts. So I think Tatum and his points prop will continue to be worth a look here, certainly when they get back to Boston, as I do think that he will enjoy home court advantage. There are some other player props that are interesting. But Aaron, I wanted to make a point here to people. When it comes to series betting, right, and different ways to bet series, let me ask you right now, your expectation is that this series is going to be, I assume, Brooklyn, in how many games?
I would say easily 4 or 5. I mean, I could see them easily sweeping. They should be able to sweep this team, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were to take one off the board. And if they're going to do that, it would be at the Garden.
Right. So the reason I ask is Brooklyn minus 2.5 games is now minus 265 in the FanDuel Sportsbook, which is Brooklyn in 4 or 5. You're not laying 265. But we implored people to lay that number at around a minus 140 range pre-series. And think about how you feel right now if that's the bet you made at minus 140, where people are worried about the 9. I think the 9, that spread, is a little difficult to figure out, right? But we all trust Brooklyn to win this game tonight here, and you're basically just positioned on a Brooklyn money line and not much else to sweat out. That's where series prices and series spreads specifically can then really make your life easier as a better. I know that that's not helping people now because I don't think you're going to be laying a minus 265 price, although I think it's a winner, but I don't think you're going to be laying that price right now. I just wanted to make that point, how it can then all of a sudden make the game-to-game betting a little bit easier on yourself. Because look at Brooklyn. I mean, they're laying 9. They're minus 450 money line. If you're trying to back the Nets, it's quite difficult in this game.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And then in terms of the series prices, just want to mention the Nets, obviously minus 3,000 to win the series. You're not going to bet on that. It's basically like Philadelphia right now, minus 1,800 against the Wizards. So those are the two teams right now in terms of the series prices that are very, very high. So Kevin made a great point there. The one other question I wanted to ask you about this game, though, Kevin, is have the Brooklyn Nets been able to figure out their defense? We know in that second half they were able to kind of put all the pieces together. Celtics shot only 40 points in that second half, and they shot 37% for this game. So do you think as long as the Brooklyn Nets are able to figure out that defense, they would be able to close it out pretty quickly?
So the unfortunate answer that I have to offer is we'll see. It was one game, right? And I think we learned, hopefully we learned, from last year's postseason, where the team that won the title kept losing game number one of their series, that we cannot overreact to one game. Now, look, the Nets played good defense, no doubt about it. Made life difficult on Jason Tatum. We also saw Kemba Walker deal with foul trouble the whole game. Kemba Walker played 27 minutes. Jason Tatum played 41. That's not by design. Like, they didn't have what is comfortably their second-best offensive weapon, because we know Jaylen Brown is unavailable for this team now with the season-ending wrist injury. So I'm not taking away from Brooklyn, right? But sometimes, you know, playoff jitters, getting excited for the moment, you lose a secondary option like a Kemba Walker, and all of the sudden, you can't seem to get your offensive rhythm going. So again, I think the answer is we'll see. If they hold Boston sub 100 points again, then we're going to have something really interesting to talk about.
Yes, we will. So let's actually talk about some of the player props for those players. We have Kemba Walker, 23.5. Jason Tatum still high at 30.5, despite not having a great performance in game one.
So the Kemba number there, it was 22.5 last night. It moving up to 23.5 makes a lot of sense. It's now back down to 22.5, so you can tell that that number is moving. But this was a number that we were all about during the play-in. I remember for Kemba when they were going up against Washington. He's still gone over this number in 6 of 9 games. He missed it in game number one, but we just talked about it, right? The issues with fouls hurting Kemba's time available. He only played 27 minutes. That's blowout level minutes. We know that blowouts can hurt player props to the over. I think you come back to Kemba. I combined him and Tatum there. There's two Brooklyn props, though, that I'm interested in, okay? I'm interested in Kevin Durant's points prop. We said that we wanted to get at least a game under our belt. I totally believe in Durant's volume, 100%. 25 shot attempts for KD in that first game. He scored 32. The points prop's 27.5. Here's why I really like it. He was very inefficient. He only shot 40% from the floor. Durant, once all season long, had games of consecutive sub 45% shooting from the field. Durant's going to shoot better than 50%. Volume will be there. He probably puts up another 30. Also, Harden, over 9.5 assists, even money. I love it. He had 8 last game, and they were horrendous shooting from the field. He averages 12 assists per game when the big three plays together.
Love it. And stay with us here on the early line. Coming up next, we are going to give you our hero of the night. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the early line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Now, underdogs in the NHL last night went 4-1 with upsets by the Islanders, Panthers, Wild, and Jets. versus the Oilers. I mean, that game went into triple overtime. Plus, the Toronto Maple Leafs won as the only favorite to win. Unders 3-2. So it's time to get to our hero of the night.
Hero of the night meeting the dong of the day that never was. An unfortunate scene, but ultimately yesterday in the NHL, where, by the way, like every single day in hockey, we could give you a hero of the night because there's always game winners because every game goes to overtime. It's a delightful thing. Makes my life very, very easy. But yesterday, I had to go out there and select Josh Bailey of the New York Islanders as the hero of the night. The swing game, game number 5, the series decider, some would tell you, in Pittsburgh, in double overtime, Josh Bailey brings it home, puts it in the back of the net, and it's one of those goals that perhaps Islanders fans remember forever. The reality is, in overtime hockey, it takes one shot, and that's that. And it is now the Isles, who are -310 favorites to win this series. They go back home now after winning game number 5 in Pittsburgh. Who knows what happens if this ends up being a Pittsburgh win? I know Pittsburgh would be significantly bigger favorites to win this series if it was a huge swing and it all came on the stick of Josh Bailey, who also had an assist, who walks away with hero of the night honors.
You'd love to see it. Yeah, I feel like all these games, though, like you mentioned, kept going into overtime. Some of them into triple overtime, double overtime. It's been so great to watch, obviously, playoff hockey. It's been so exciting. Mm-hmm. Just want to mention in terms of the Stanley Cup odds, the Colorado Avalanche moving down to +280 to win it all. The Boston Bruins +500 along with the Vegas Golden Knights. Stay with us here on the early line. Coming up next, we're going to do our 7-7 top headlines.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it The Edge.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.